You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you here. And Barrett Slee joining us, and we'll get to your phone calls in a couple of minutes. We have not forgotten about you, but we have been jam-packed with guests today, including our most recent guest, John Ruiz, who the billionaire down in Miami. I don't know if billionaire and Barrett Slee have ever been mentioned in the same sentence, but why not? We'll get to Barrett in a minute. Watt, Florida. Why Florida's Billy Napier has the edge over LSU's Brian Kelly for instant success. Barrett, you're already making friends here before you've uttered a word. Good afternoon.
Well, if you're doling out billions of dollars, I will gladly take it. No, billionaire has not been associated with my name, but I am more than willing to add that moniker.
Well, it's great to have you. Let's talk about why you are so high on Billy Napier.
Well, it's for instant success. Right, like I think there's a different discussion for immediate and long-term success, but I think with Billy Napier, you know, we all saw the mock drafts as soon as the NFL draft ended, and Anthony Richardson is pretty prominent in the first round of almost all of them, which to me maybe got overshadowed by the Will Levis love, but that's a great start. They've got four running backs that are. I think perfectly capable of being better than average number one at ones, and they all excel in different areas. So I think Billy Napier can get very creative with his offense, and he's done that in the past. You know, last year, 2 years ago as well with Levi Lewis at quarterback, you know, the dual threat offense worked just fine. I think defensively, getting Ventrell Miller back is big. I think they're more talented up front than I think some folks realize, and plus they're in the East. So the path is a little easier than it is for Brian Kelly at LSU. So, you know, I think immediate success, long-term success, it's relative based on school, and I don't think Florida's going to contend with Georgia in the SEC East, but could I see them winning 8 games, going to a decent bowl game? Absolutely, and I don't think you can say that about LSU, at least this year.
And why not?
Well, for starters, the numbers, right? Like the quantity has been a problem. We all saw in the Texas Bowl last year when Brian Kelly was up there saying, we need people. We're going to hit the transfer portal hard. And that's fine. I mean, go ahead and do that. And they have done that, obviously, with Jaden Daniels, a couple offensive linemen and whatnot. But I think you're not going to get superstars out of a portal and competitive in the SEC West. I think from a quarterback perspective, they're solid. The offensive line's a big concern. Cam Wire's really the only established starter who's returning. And I don't care who you have at quarterback or running back. If you have a subpar offensive line and kind of lost in the shadow of Alabama's struggles in that department last year was LSU. They gave up the second most sacks per game in the conference. And now they're breaking an entirely new offensive line, which is not easy to do in the SEC. So, that's a problem, I think, secondary. It's a pass-happy league, especially in the SEC West, a pass-happy division. You know, it's going to make it hard for LSU to consistently put together, you know, a team that can compete with the Arkansas's, the Ole Misses, which will get them into a shootout. Alabama will get them into a shootout. I just don't see that success happening this year. But that said, like, and Paul, you and I talked about this when Brian Kelly got hired. I think LSU will win a national championship with Brian Kelly as their head coach, but I don't think it's going to look like a national championship team this year by any stretch of the imagination.
Good point. Brad Slee with us. Barry, it's obvious who the best two teams are, and you can go by whatever means you want, maybe by how much the coach makes or what their NIL collectives look like if you want, but that's not how we're going to identify the next contender in the SEC. So after Bama in Georgia, who is it?
I would say it's probably Ole Miss because, for a few reasons. One, I trust Lane. I mean, I think at this point Lane has proven his offensive prowess. I think they've upgraded at running back with Ulysses Bentley out of SMU and then Zach Evans out of TCU. That's a better 1-2 punch than they had last year with Snoop and Jerry. And I think from a quarterback perspective, I think Lane's very comfortable with either Altmyer or Jackson Dart. I think the consensus is that that they feel Jackson Dart has more upside, but it feels like they're comfortable if Altmyer wins that job. And really all they have to be is adequate defensively. I don't expect the offense to take much of a step back. It's like a little step back, but not a huge step back. So you just need a little bit more improvement from that defense. It's hard to get worse. And so that recipe has worked for Ole Miss. It's worked for Lane Kiffin in the past. I mean, Ole Miss went to the Sugar Bowl for a reason last year. So to me, I think Ole Miss being a threat to Alabama might be a stretch, because I don't think there's a threat to Alabama in the West or one to Georgia in the East. But if I had to create one, and I wrote this on CBSSports.com a few weeks ago, if I had to write pick which team is the biggest threat to unseat either one of those teams, I do think it'll be Ole Miss, because they can dictate style and dictate tempo more than any other team in the SEC, really not named Alabama.
So let's talk about the team that everyone's been talking about in the offseason, and that's Texas A&M. What do you see in this really important year for Jimbo Fisher as he gets his new players in there and starts to build what everyone out there is expecting to be a national championship team?
I don't think Texas A&M is going to be a national championship caliber team. I think Jimbo right now, you look at his record, it's very Kevin Sumlin-ish. He's had one good year, but that was the COVID year. And I've said consistently that you don't take anything positively or negatively out of any team from the COVID year, because it was so bizarre. Aside from that, he's basically Kevin Sumlin. Now, granted, the recruiting classes have been great, especially this one, but you put a new quarterback in a situation where he has to run a Jimbo Fisher offense, which is, I think is generally regarded as the most complicated and demanding offense in the SEC from a quarterback perspective for what the responsibilities are. I just don't see that happening. I think some of the hype, I think, is a little unfair to Jimbo, because it feels like it's cranked up to overdrive because of the recruiting class, the best recruiting class of all time. A lot of those dudes aren't going to play, but that coupled with, you know, the success that they had 2 years ago and the win over Alabama last year sort of has people intoxicated with Texas A&M this offseason, and I just don't see it. To me, I think my opinion on Jimbo Fisher has changed. I used to think he was an elite coach who won a national championship with a great player in Jameis Winston. Now I think he's a really darn good coach who won a national championship because of Jameis Winston, which is a big difference between when he got the job at Texas A&M and now.
Those are strong comments. A lot of follow-ups there, but I'm going to let you off the hook. It's early in the year. Let me ask you about the coach who really did win the offseason in terms of hits on Twitter, but lost the regular season and his future is bleak. That is Brian Harsin at Auburn. What about the Tigers?
Well, zingers at Oklahoma with Boise State pictures are always welcomed. Twitter's supposed to be fun. He has done a good job of making it fun. It's going to be hard for Auburn this year. I mean, the schedule's tough. Granted, they get Penn State at home, but, you know, the offensive line, you know, yeah, it's pretty experienced. It hasn't been that good. I don't know what you're going to get out of the quarterback situation. I will say Robbie Ashford looked pretty good in the spring game, which I think if you're going to be adequate to slightly above adequate at the quarterback position, you might as well put somebody back there who can run, which Robbie can. So that'll give him a puncher's chance. You know, I think really it's all about the trenches. Can the offensive line take a step forward, help Tank Bigsby and Jacquez Hunter out, or is it going to struggle? And defensively, quantity is a problem. You need to have, you know, you need to be eight deep, and Auburn's not right now. So I think it'll be a struggle. Will they finish above 500? Yeah, probably. Will that be enough to keep Harsin employed there? I think that is that's going to be very interesting. If they go 8-4, he'll be fine. But if he struggles and the boosters who tried to get him ousted start talking again, then yeah, I think he could be in some trouble.
If he's not the answer at Auburn, who is?
That is a very good question, and there's no easy answer to it. I thought before Billy Napier got hired at Florida that he would have been great. I think he's going to be, you know, he's a perfect fit from how Auburn wants to market itself, and you've seen that sort of at Florida with how he's helped Florida sort of get an edge in the NIL game. But aside from with him at Florida, like the options are few and far between, and it's going to take the right coach to either force the voices out, which Brian Harsin tried to do, and I think did for a little part of the season last year. And there's not really anybody with a demanding personality like that out there, save for like Lane Kiffin. And to me, I just think, you know, he's pretty much well set in Ole Miss. He can be the king of the town. So I don't have an easy answer for you. It would take a very, very Nick Saban-like personality where he comes in and just says, this is my way, everybody out, nobody talk to me, we're rebuilding this the way I want to rebuild it. And I don't know if that personality exists out there.
Great stuff. Barrett Slee, many, many thanks, Barrett. We will continue our conversations with you shortly. Thank you for being on. Let's head to the break. But before we do, Barrett had a lot to say. Talked about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss being the third best team in the SEC. Did I hear him correctly? Did he essentially say, I think he did, that Jimbo Fisher is Kevin Sumlin? We'll talk about it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We put a tweet out there about what Barrett just said in relation to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. And how long did it take for Kiffin to respond? It was 2 minutes, to be exact, saying that's peak rat poison. We'll get your reaction to all that. You want to give us a ring? It's 855-242-7285. Quite a bit has happened since we've taken our last call. Let's check in with Will in Louisiana. Hello, Will.
First of all, I agree with everything Barrett said with A&M. I think they're the fifth best team in the SEC. I think Arkansas is better than them. Ole Miss is better than them. LSU is better than them. And Alabama is better than them. Just Jimbo, he is not it. And for my question is, the Jordan Addison Alabama deal, Saban is pretty much grabbing everybody's stars and sending them to Alabama to turn them into turning Alabama into like this mecca college football team. They're like the Patriots of the NFL right now. They give whatever they want, and they don't care. Or in retro.
Hey, Will. First of all, Jordan Addison, the Pitt receiver, is at Texas today, according to various reports. He's looking at a number of schools. Why shouldn't Alabama go out and grab the best players they can? Is there something wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just mad at the whole situation that Saban even came out and said, y'all want this to happen? Y'all really want this to happen? Y'all want the transfer portal? Okay. You got your wish. No, it's people say what they want, and once they finally get it, then they start realizing, wait a minute, this might have been a mistake, without logically thinking, will this affect the history of college football? Will this make college football not as funny? And that's what college football is turning into. A mini NFL, and it just sucks to watch.
Will, who is your team?
My team, LSU.
It didn't suck 3 years ago when you grabbed a quarterback from Ohio State, did it?
That quarterback was a nobody. We got. He was pretty much a nobody.
He wasn't exactly a nobody. I don't think LSU would have gone after him.
He was third string at Ohio State.
Well, yeah, but you have to remember who he was behind.
JT Barrett, Cardell Jones.
Yeah, he was behind some pretty well-known players. I mean, you sound very upset about this.
I'm upset because I don't like seeing the way college football is going. It's going into, like, a death sentence. It's just piece by piece, piece by piece. It's like whoever – it's pretty much ripping the – you're ripping
Besides, Jordan Addison, I don't think Alabama really needs him, and I'm not really sure he's going there, but that's beside the point. I understand your frustration, but – It's a free enterprise system. You go out and you grab the 25 or 26 best players you can, and then you whatever you lose, you try to supplement. It's a supply and demand. This is not something unique here.
I'm not mad at what Saban's doing. Saban has the right to do that. Everybody has the right to do what they're doing. I'm just mad at the people that allowed this to happen. The NCAA. Pretty much said.
Well, when you say that, you're not talking about just the you're talking about the people that run college sports who allowed it to happen. It's not only the NCAA; it's everyone in power today who has a seat at that table.
I just don't get why somebody complains about saying first thing. I completely understand players do need to get paid, but then you bring on okay, well then we need a transfer portal for kids that don't get enough playing time.
Hey, Will, I'm not really sure I understand where you're coming from here, because there's always been the ability to transfer. It's just a little bit easier now. Why should someone be restricted from going to another school if the coach he plays for can walk out at any time? And what world do you live in?
What I'm coming from is I believe in rivalries.
Well, I'm really sorry about that, but the rivalries are still going to exist. College football is not going to disintegrate. It's not going to be vaporized. It is different, but it's been different for a long time. You sound like a relatively young guy. I mean, I understand if a 90-year-old calls up and says, "Man, the way it used to be," but it hasn't been that. It hasn't been like that for a long time. There's always been graft. There's always been under the table payoffs. There's always been cheating. It's just now above board. It's just now being done in daylight, as opposed to late at night, on some backcountry road.
I don't like how you're a star quarterback for Florida, and then you say, "Oh, I don't like it here anymore. I want to transfer to Florida State." It's kind of like, really?
Yeah.
Really? You pretty much just said, "I don't like my school. I want to go to the opposing team that
hey,
we
Will,
hate the most."
I don't know. What? How old are you, if I could ask?
I'm 17.
Okay, so you're senior in high school?
About to be.
Okay. Could you go to another school in Louisiana if you wanted?
Technically, not really, unless I put my house up for sale. Or unless we moved.
Okay.
So you're saying
you could not go to another public school.
I could not go to another public school, but I could switch over to a private school.
Right. So you could move if you had the means.
I could. Mm-hmm. But it would be 10 times harder to do than what these college athletes are doing. Like, I can't just go out on social media and just say, "I'm entering the transfer portal. I'm off to, West Monroe or somewhere."
Okay. Hey, listen, I appreciate your call. Booker is in New Jersey. You're on the air. Hello, Booker.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been listening for a long time. They say this is not political, and you don't make it that way. But the Ruiz, that was a real good conversation with the gentleman before that. It was talking about the pendulum swinging to the far left and then back to the center, then over to the right. Well, if the pendulum doesn't swing, time doesn't move, and that clock is a dead clock. These kids now that super studs, great athletes, a lot of them living some in abject poverty, some just above it, but they become good athletes. The schools know about them. They go, they find them, they leave the mother or grandmother at home with brothers and sisters. Now they have a chance to make money in the NIL or to go to the pros early. That's going to happen. I've lived now to watch college football, especially. You've heard me say I grew up in South Carolina. When South Carolina was in the ACC at that time, Clemson both. But I've seen now the thing go from angry to angry as far as the African-American athletes is concerned, and even some of the white kids too, but especially the black athletes. They were angry in the SEC and the ACC and some of them when they got in the league. Your alma mater, Tennessee, with Conridge Holloway with those tailway jerseys, he won, but they figured somebody else ought to be playing quarterback. And now they were angry when they came in, not angry when they're leaving.
Thank you very much. We're heading to a break. More of your phone calls. We've had a busy guest list, but we have plenty of time for you to get in right now, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back, and let's get to Legend, who is up next.
East Coast, baby. East Coast. How you doing, my friend?
Legend, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, it seems to me, and several people that I talk to, you as a member of the Black Hat crew, it seems deep down in your heart that you really want to snap on the NCAA and tell them how you really believe. Am I wrong, or am I misreading that?
Well, I've had a lot of strong things to say about them, but I did add to that when we talked to the caller a minute ago. The easiest thing is to blame one organization, but they're not the only one to blame for this.
No, they're not. And I'm going to tell you that Will from Louisiana, I think he touched upon something that nobody's really looking at, Paul. And that is, what is going to be the effect on the fan by turning these teams over year in and year out and basically making some teams irrelevant? Because Will's right. If Nick Saban wants a wide receiver at Purdue, guess what? Are you going to play for Nick Saban? Or are you going to play for Purdue? I mean, come on. I mean, that's the truth, Paul. I mean, and here's my point about this right here. And hell yeah, the legend can talk sports. I'm just not a trash talker, baby. I'm a sports fan. That's what drew me to this show. If you look at NASCAR, they got too full of themselves and went backwards. If you look at baseball, the reason I don't watch baseball no more, and me and you grew up, baseball was our first love. Am I wrong or am I right?
You're 100% correct.
Absolutely right. And now I hate it. Why? Because my Orioles, when they get a Manny Machado, the Yankees and teams like that come along and cherry pick them. And eventually I got to the place, I said, to hell with this. I'm 10 games out on opening day. Why watch this trash? It's not competitive. So what you got now is you're going to end up with Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, these mega teams, and all these other team fan bases are going to say, to hell with it. Why watch it? Am I wrong or am I right here, Paul? That's a real freaking
danger. You're right. And legend, it's a dirty little secret, but we'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. There are countless major universities who are well on their way to complete and total irrelevance right now.
Absolutely. Why? Because if Georgia wants a defensive tackle at Boise State, guess what? He's leaving Boise State and heading to Georgia. So what college football has become is just another version of the MLB where the big boys are going to cherry pick from the little boys, and it's going to make the little boys irrelevant, and eventually the Vandys and the Purdues and them little schools are going to say, to hell with this. Now what Greg Sankey and the Power Five needs to do immediately is kick the NCAA to the curb, get that erection and that middle finger and tell them what they really need to hear and say, we don't need this garbage no more, and create a power super
But legend, you know the problem with that, and you see it every time you talk to an administrator. Well, it's 5 years off. Well, it's contract doesn't run out till now. Nobody in this space moves with deliberate speed. They crawl. And by the time they get around to doing what they are going to do, and that is undo the powers of the NCAA completely and totally, it may be too late.
Absolutely. 12-team playoff immediately. It will be the only thing that saves the game, and don't turn it into a superpower conference, because then you have more slots in the playoff and you make it a little bit where the little guy can get in. But I'm telling you, they're headed down the same road the MLB headed down, and eventually the one thing they ain't considered is fans like Will from Louisiana, even fans like me saying, hell, I don't even recognize the Alabama basketball team. These teams are turning over every year, Paul. The love of college football and college sports is cheering the same player, falling in love with Joe Namath, with Major Overly, with Derek Thomas, and cheering for that player for 3 or 4 years. If it gets to the point where I don't recognize my football team year in and year out, I will lose interest, and the young generation will lose interest, and it will destroy the game. And that's my friggin' take, Paul. Love you, dude.
Well done. Thank you, legend. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Johnny, who is in Atlanta. Hello, Johnny.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
I've got an idea for you. The Georgia students that called in yesterday and invited you to graduation
Friday.
Oh,
yeah, Friday, yeah.
And you were contemplating what jersey to wear. And I've got the perfect jersey for you. With your brilliance and your intelligence, there's only one jersey for you to wear if you're going to wear a Georgia jersey Friday night. And it's the jersey of N'Kobe Dean, number 17. And I'm sure you're aware of this. He graduated in 3 years with like a 3.6 grade point average in mechanical engineering. And, you know, there's only one number for you, Paul, for that. With your intelligence and your brilliance, gosh. That's got to be you,
man. I can listen to you say that all day.
And let me say one other thing about N'Kobe. I want to give a shout-out. You know, N'Kobe's dad is a doctor.
Really?
In Florida, in the Tampa, Bradenton area down there. Yes, sir. Dr. Byron Dean. I'd like to give a shout-out to Byron and let him know what a wonderful job he and N'Kobe's mom did raising the kid to be not only just a great athlete, but a great student athlete and a great American.
Well, I was unaware of that, but thank you very much, Johnny. And then the N'Kobe Dean jersey, it will be. Coy is up next. How are you, Coy?
Yes, I'm going to pile on right where Will and Legend left off.
Okay.
These NIL deals and players swapping from one team to the next, one school. I mean, we had what happened to the university providing an education and free room and board and meals? That wasn't enough. Then we want amateur athletes. Why don't they just go pro? If that's what they need to do and make a living instead of going to an institution. It's not even an institution anymore. It's a it's a place where we're, you know, farming out NFL football players, and that's it. What happened to the rep? We were losing all of the pageantry, just like legend said.
I'd like to ask you this, Cole. Could you tell me when the last time it was like you and Legend want it to be?
Around 2010, maybe.
And what made it so touchy-feely then?
It's just gotten sold out, the whole thing. It's not the same anymore. It's all about who can have the best facility, the swimming pools.
But my point, Coy, is that this has been going on for a long time. This just didn't start yesterday.
Shouldn't have been allowed in the first place.
Well,
okay, they can go pro. Go be pro.
But they can't. But that's the problem, because the NCAA does not, and with its agreements, does not allow them to go until their third year, after their third year. So, therefore, they have no other option. The NCAA and all the conferences who have a seat here, you know, could have seen this coming. It was not hard to see. All of this has been telegraphed for about 25 years.
And it's going to ruin it altogether. People are going to walk away.
So let me ask you this, Coy. With all these players making money, who do you pull for, if I could ask?
I pull for Florida.
Okay. So are you on the final Saturday of October this year, are you not going to watch the Florida-Georgia game?
I'm going to watch that game.
Yeah.
I am.
I suspect if Florida is undefeated, you'll watch a few more games. But I understand where you're coming from. I just don't buy it in total. It is a different game, but I've covered the sport for a long time, and yeah, it isn't like it used to be. But I've heard that repeatedly. When I first started covering college football, you could be shown three times a year on network television. If ABC was coming to your town and Keith Jackson, it was a big deal. And now you have every game on, and you have networks like this that show not only college football, but baseball and basketball and softball and gymnastics. So you can argue, you know, where do you want to go? Do you want to go back in time when there were restrictions on who could go to your university? Or do you like today? You want to go back in time when you couldn't watch television, couldn't watch your favorite team on television? Or do you like today? Yeah, is it all about money? Of course it's all about money, but it's been about money for a long time. That's all I'm trying to say. We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we are back. We are glad you are with us. And Carl is up next in Ohio. Hello, Carl. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum? How you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to talk about the transfer portal real quick. I think it's awesome for the sport. I don't know why everybody's griping about it for. Oh, because Alabama's getting the best recruits. I think that's the reason why. Roll Tide.
Was he flushing himself down the toilet or just flushing a toilet? Luke is up next in Cleveland. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm all for people getting some money. And, I mean, everybody who says they're not, I just feel like if somebody in their family had that opportunity, they'd want them to get some money too. I mean, some of the numbers are a little egregious to start with. But I think it'll balance out. People are going to sign these contracts, get stuck at these schools, and then the transfer portal is going to kind of die down once they're stuck there for however long their contracts for. I just want your thoughts on that.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I mean, right now is the worst of it because you just can dive in and out of there at any time. But you know, there will be some restrictions on the portal. The NCAA does control that. And if you have a two-year contract or a three-year contract with your school, you're not going anywhere. Well said. Thank you very much for the call. John is up next in Texas. Hello, John.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I wanted to ask your opinion on something. I think we all agree that 2021 was a watershed year in college football that ushered in a number of changes that will affect, you know, the game, at least indirectly, for decades. You know, and we've talked about the NIL and the transfer portal, the marginalization of the NCAA, the rise of the mega conference with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. But none of those changes affect how the game is played on the field. And so my question was, will 2021 be known as the year in which it was the beginning of the end of our national obsession with the young, innovative, offensive coach on the football staff, and in favor of going back to the, you know, maybe traditional defensive coach and playing more smash-mouth football? I mean, look at Georgia. Georgia won the national championship without a Heisman Trophy quarterback. In fact, maybe not even without, maybe not even with the best quarterback on their team. But they won it. They kept, as I understand it, in each of their victories, they kept the other team from scoring more than 19 points. And if you look at all the participants in the playoffs, the college playoffs, all four teams were probably better known for their defense than their offense. Two of the top five Heisman Trophy candidates were defensive players, the first time in decades. All five, the first five draftees in the NFL, defensive players this year. In my neck of the woods, the Big 12, Baylor, no more for its defense, won the Big 12, and the Baylor-Oklahoma State title game was more of a was really a defensive affair and not the pinball machine type games of a decade ago. So I was, maybe you disagree with the premise, but I was wondering, I mean, are we going to see a return to more traditional defensive games and strategies?
Well, I mean, what you've laid out is factual. Georgia only had one bad game defensively, and that was aberrational, it seemed, in the SEC championship game. But I think it's just, but the problem is, the power shift may shift a little bit in that direction, but I don't know how many of those players are available. I think what Kirby Smart did was generational. However, if you're looking into the future, which I know you are, Jimbo Fisher may have recruited, in theory, the best defensive class we've ever seen. So we might have some transference from Georgia to A&M here, at least in that regard. But impossible to say after 1 year. But I hear you loud and clear. You may be onto something, and you're the first person I've heard to bring this up.
Well, that may not be the greatest thing if I'm the first and only one to have brought it up. But, you look at Major League Baseball, which is one of the most conservative sports being resistant to change. That's a defensive game now with right. The shifts, the infield and outfield shifts, the starting of pitchers for two innings so that, because data analytics say that if a pitcher, the third time around, the batters have a decided advantage over the same pitcher.
John, let me jump in because we're out of time, but you're onto something. Thank you for the call. An hour to go.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.